Well, I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12, and we'll get right into the Bible message. In Romans chapter 12, a couple of verses that are favorite among most of us, but Romans chapter 12, while you find your place there, I did hear this story about this husband and wife. They found this genie bottle. They were 60-year-old, both of them, husband and wife, found this old bottle from who knows when. And so they thought, wow, we'll try. And they rubbed it, and certainly they had got three wishes. Well, they did the first one together, and then they thought, well, it won't be fair. If you get one, I get one. They just made it even out like that. And so the lady, she said, oh, I wish I could travel all around the world. And poof, when the smoke cleared, she had in her hand just tickets to anywhere and everywhere that she'd ever wanted to go in order, that she could just go fly anywhere. And so her husband was up next, and he kind of looked a little sheepish. She said, well, I'd like to be married to someone 30 years younger than me. And poof, a bunch of smoke come up, and when all the smoke cleared, he was 90. So men, be careful what you wish for. May not turn out like you thought it would. Well, a couple of favorite verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to preach for just a little while about this subject, to present. We know that this passage teaches that we're supposed to present ourselves to God. Basically, the Word of God is saying, as God's using Paul, I beg you, I beseech you, I beg you by the mercies of God that you give yourself to the Lord. And we often pray for young people and teenagers and different folks to yield themselves to the Lord, just to give everything they've got. Say, Lord, I'm yours, whatever you want done. But teenagers aren't the only ones that need to do that. Teenagers need to see some of us adults do that, and children need to see us do that. We need to yield ourselves to the Lord. You heard about the old fellow that first time the interstate had come through his town, but he'd never been up on it, but he got an old farm truck up there, and he was getting up on that entrance ramp, and he just moved on in, but he didn't wait for them. Their cars were coming. This person couldn't get over, and he just pushed his old beat-up truck into this little sports car that was coming through there. Nobody got hurt, but they were both scratched up, and so he pulled them off the side, and that young business guy in that sports car was mad as all get out, and he was just hollering at him. He said, what in the world are you doing? He said, you're supposed to yield. Didn't you see that yield sign? You're supposed to yield. He said, I did. I yield at you three times, but you never got over. Well, we're supposed to yield ourselves to the Lord, meaning we're supposed to give Him free passage to come through. And that's what the Scriptures are talking about here, that I beseech you by the mercy of God, you present your body. Just leave it over. There's no better illustration than a present than we're going to celebrate. Hard to believe this is true, but in 6 months when we celebrate Christmas, when somebody brings something to someone and they give it, they don't expect anything back. They don't want payment. That's not the definition of a gift. They just want to give it to you. It's a present. Well, the same word. And that means God wants us to present our bodies to Him, ourselves, to a living sacrifice. And Paul's instructing the people here of the church at Rome to make sacrifices, make a sacrifice. And that wasn't something that they weren't familiar with, because, you know, in the Old Testament, of course, there would have been many offerings and sacrifices. There were burnt offerings, which would have been a bull or a ram or a bird for those that were very poor. There were grain offerings and praise offerings and sin offerings, and the priests were all the time offering these things for the people. There was a trespass offering for the things that people had done. And those various sacrifices were not very problematic, because after you got, well, it won't be base, but after you got it to where it wasn't moving anymore, then they just sacrificed that on the altar. But the sacrifice that Paul is talking about is the one that's going to give more trouble than all the sacrifices in the Old Testament. That's a living sacrifice. That's you. That's me. One old preacher put it like this: the problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling down off the altar. And I don't know if you're like me, but I have a suspicion that you are. I'll give myself to the Lord in some area, and I'll give some problem to Him and say, Lord, I give it to you. I yield it to you. I want you to take care of it. And I mean it with all of my being. And I have that given to the Lord. I've yielded myself and given Him the problem. And I feel so relieved But as I walk away, get up from my knees, either figuratively or literally, I get up from my knees and I walk away, and some 10, 15 minutes later or 2 hours later, I can sense that problem coming back, and I almost, as if I'm taking it back from the Lord, say, Lord, I gave it to you for a while, but I'm ready to now worry with it and fret over it again. Maybe it's that cancer diagnosis that the doctor gave you. Maybe it's that problem with finances. Maybe it's that family issue that's going on, and you have that time of success as well, and you give it to the Lord. But then as the day wears on, you take it back, and now you start letting it weigh you down one more time. You were doing so well, Lord, I'm just going to trust you in it by faith. But then you start bringing it back. Well, the scripture says here that we are supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, give it to the Lord, and so that we can live for him. I want you to see a few things out of these verses. Number one, I want you to see the request that's given in verse number one. I beseech you. That means I beg you. I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you. Would you present your bodies? I'm always amazed at how older saints of God are so intent on trying to get younger people to follow what the Lord wants them to in their young life. Dad would tell all of us boys to not worry about going down certain roads. He said, because I can tell you where that road leads, and I can tell you where that road leads. It's heartache every single time. You don't have to experience it yourselves. Take my word for it. And so I'm always amazed at how older saints of God want to save those young people from some of the issues. They say, give your life to the Lord when you're young. Don't wait till you're older like I did. Yield your life to them. And I see those older saints begging that person. When you have an intent, and you have a compassion and a passion to see something happen, it's amazing. And that's what this text is telling us. Paul says, I beg you. I read of a mother whose dying request was to see her son graduate, but he wasn't supposed to graduate till May or so. He had great grades. She had some kind of blood cancer, and she had seen her daughter, the other sibling of the one that was graduating, she had seen her get married just a few years before, and what she wanted to do before she went on was to see her son graduate. Well, the school knew he had the grades, and so they arranged it after much pleading from her to have a private ceremony at the University of Cincinnati Hospital. And so in that room, they conferred upon him a diploma, which would be made official when he walked across the platform. But just a few days before that lady passed, she got to see her son graduate. That happened because there was a mother that was intent on making it happen. She called everybody she could, and her family called everybody they could, and they begged and they pleaded, and finally the administration said, I will. I'm trying to let you see this morning that when we see that begging, that request, there's a reason for it, and I see that request is given. But as we look at the verse number 36, if you would, right before chapter 12, I see not only that request that Paul gives, but the reason that he gives is found in the verse prior. The reason is because in verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. The book of Colossians talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. By him all things consist. And so there's a reason Paul gives this request. He says, I beg you to give your lives. But there's a reason. That's because everything is for him, by him, through him, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's the reason we're begged to present our lives to the Lord and let ourselves be whatever God wants. Somehow we've gotten the message that, or gotten the thought that we're able to be whatever we want to be. Instead, we ought to be thinking, Lord, what would you have me be? I heard an old preacher say, it's not, well, what's God's will for my life? Instead, it should be boiled down even more base than that. My life is for God's will, whatever it is. Everybody in this room. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be a missionary. But all of us ought to live our lives to say, Lord, I'm for your will. My life is here for you. And we ought to see that need that's given here is to present our lives to him. But the reason is because all of it's his anyway. You know, my pastors this morning would be at Franklin Road Baptist Church, and he's the one that helped me in my time when I needed to get my salvation nailed down. He helped lead me through some scriptural passages to get the assurance of my salvation. He baptized me. I surrendered to the ministry under his preaching. He performed the ceremony for Amy and I. He hired me. He ordained me. All of these things. And so because of the great love that I have for him and because of what he means to me, if he called and said, John, I need you to come over. I said, well, I'll get in the car as soon as church is over tonight, and I'll be there before midnight. Because he wouldn't have to describe what he wanted. He wouldn't have to beg. He wouldn't even have to ask. If I knew he wanted, I'd go, because he means so much to me. Well, if a man would mean that much to some other man, how much more to the God Almighty, the one that all glory belongs to, the one that is for him and through him and of him are all things, how much more should we be beholding to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the reason. Now, I want you to look in verse number 2. Not only do we see that request, but we see the regulation. I'm trying to keep my alliterated outline here. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I want to give you the guideline or the standard or the regulation to go by, and that is to be transformed. We're supposed to give our lives to the Lord, but what does that even look like? What does that even mean, Pastor? What, I don't understand how I would give. Okay, I'm here. Here you are, God. Well, there's the contrast in that verse number 2 between transformed and conformed. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. And that world, that word, conformed, it has at its root the word that, the base word that we get the word scheme from. Not scheming like you're devising a plan, although that would work, but from where we also get the word schematic. If somebody's producing an electronic device, they've got a schematic for it. Well, that's the same root word of scheme, which is the same root word from that conform. And so what God's telling us, you and I, don't be following the schematic of the world. Because the world's got its agenda. The world says, let's see what all I can gather for myself. And yes, they want to have a family and they want to do some of these things as well. But by and large, what can I gather for myself? And the word of God says for you and I, not to conform or not to follow the schematic of the world, but instead of that, be transformed. And when you transform, it's a totally different being. It's a total new, what the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's that transforming. I heard a preacher say at our home church back years ago, he started a great addictions ministry. And he said that the problem with our service is that we conform by performing instead of transforming. And what he meant by that is some of us, we get all dressed up and we perform. We get everything on that look really good. We perform like you would on a play stage instead of being transformed. My friend, I'm not so worried about how good you look on the outside. I'm not so worried about what you wear coming in here. Instead, I would love for you and I all to have this transforming work of Jesus Christ going on the inside. And there's been way too many churches. They've won almost, if they don't do it literally, they almost do it. They size you up at the back door to make sure that you fit along the crowd. Fooey on all that. We don't need to fit in on the outside so much as we need to fit in on the inside. We need to be transformed. And the Bible tells you how to transform by the renewing of your mind, by getting on in the Word of God, letting the Word of God get in you. And as the Word of God changes you, then it brings about the transforming work of God in your life that God wants to see. And so we see the regulation is that we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And as we look at the end of the verse, you'll see not only the regulation that's given, but we're going to see the result. The result is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe that everybody watching and everybody in this room today, you would say on a casual statement, I want to be in the will of God. Why wouldn't you? Of course we would. But the scripture says that the way to prove or demonstrate or display that perfect and good and acceptable will of God is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the Word of God, and letting that Word work in you. And as it renews your mind, then it turns out to come on the outside, and then you find yourself behaving in such a way that you're living in that acceptable, good, perfect will of God. I used to, when Jared was four, my son was four, I coached his soccer team. Now, it's funny to watch four-year-olds play soccer. They really have no clue about what they're doing, except they do know there's a round device or round thing in the middle of that field they love. It did no good to tell him about positions. Now, after he got above five, they started knowing more than I did about soccer, so then it wasn't a good turn. So I retired from coaching when he was five. But I did it at four. And so what I saw was they didn't care about positions. They didn't care about any rules. They didn't care about any plans. They didn't care about a protocol, or they didn't care about any of that. They cared about the ball. The ball was there. And if the ball was there, there was a swarm, like a swarm of bees. There was a swarm of beginner-age children. If that ball went over here, so did the swarm. If that ball went here, so did the swarm. And so they would just swarm the ball everywhere it went. Once in a while, the ball would luck into one of the goals. And I say that not haphazardly. That's about what it was. If it ever just kind of dribbled into the goal, it usually was luck. But the boy that was closest to it, he thought, wow, look what I did. Because they did get that. I told you they didn't know anything about the game, but they did know it was supposed to go through that little aluminum frame with a net behind it. They knew it was supposed to do that. And every time that it went through there, really, they would do it on either side. They would look at mom or dad or whoever brought them that day. And when it went into the goal, they would look back over there and they wanted to see mom or dad cheer and say, good job, or you did great, or whatever. They longed to hear, well done. They longed to hear, you did a great job. Well, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, in that story that the Lord gives about the servant, when he's told, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, my friend, that story was about one of these days when we stand before the Lord. And that will be our goal. To hear as that servant did in the story that Christ gave, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Those young people, those four-year-olds that were playing soccer, what they want to see was their mom or dad say, good job. And what I want for all of us, I want us to hear, well done, when our day comes. I heard it like this. It really boils it down. A preacher friend of mine said, I'm for everybody who wants me to have a good day at the judgment seat of Christ. And I want not only to be around people who want me to have a good day at the judgment seat of Christ to hear my Savior be pleased, but I also want the same for you. I want us, when we stand before God, one of these days to be pleased with how we lived this day on that day. And so, my friend, what I think we should be more concerned about is that day than this day, and we ought to look to what we'll wish on that day that we did this day, and the way that that works is that we transform ourselves by the renewing of our minds, but before we do that, we yield ourselves to the Lord. Every one of our lives could be used for something major for God. But when we live a transformed life, it results in a life that's pleasing to God. And that's how you get the end of verse number 2 when it talks about that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's where we want to live. But my friend, we can't just say, well, I want to live there, and then do no transforming work. Let God do no transforming work in our lives until that time. Instead, we've got to allow the Lord to get His Word into our minds, and we can renew those by the power of the Lord. So today, we saw what we're supposed to do. Yield. When you yield, you step aside and let somebody else have the right of way. Is your life yielded to the Lord? You don't have to answer aloud, and I wouldn't want you to, but I would challenge you to ask yourself, am I yielded to the Lord right now? God's not going to do this, but if He did send a messenger straight from heaven and told me I'm supposed to do this, would I say whatever He wants, I'd do? That's what it means to be yielded. I'm giving the right of way. And if you're living your life, or if I'm living my life in such a way that I'm calling the shots, or you're calling the shots, then I'm not yielded to the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You say, Pastor, I ain't got much body left. God knows how much you've got left. You may have more than I do. The oldest person in here may live longer than the youngest person in this room. God doesn't need you to worry about that part. He needs you to worry about the yielding to them, him, or yielding to him, rather. And so I'm asking, are you yielded to the Lord? Is there something in your life that you'd rather not the Lord touch with, mess with? Lord, do anything except that one little area. You know, sometimes all of us have little spots in your house or in your shed or in wherever. Don't go there. Not for bad reasons. Just leave my stuff. It's right there. That's the way I want it. There's been many a helpful wife. How many of you understand? Wives help a lot in ways that you don't want them to. But there's a few of you nosy men as well. So, but they've helped. And they cleaned everything up. But they left it in a way that you couldn't find where things were. You say, don't mess up my corner there. You haven't yielded that. Well, that's fine in your little workshop. If as long as nothing ungodly, well, you can keep it how you want it. But in our lives, I'm afraid that plays out for us to God. We say, Lord, I want you to work on me on Sunday mornings. I want you to work on me on Sunday nights. And Lord, I want you to do this, and I'd like for you to do that. And I sure do love Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good, them that love God. Lord, I love you. You can work in that verse all the time. You can do all of these things, but we don't say it because it sounds so rough and it sounds so harsh, but we might as well say it. But Lord, don't work over here. There's this one area, there's this one event, there's this one action, there's this one trait, there's this one event, whatever it is that I do, I'd really rather not have your opinion on that, Lord. I always go here, I never do that, or I always, whatever it is. Lord, this is mine, I'd really rather you not invade that spot. My friend, if there's anywhere in you that's like that, you are not completely yielded. I know that sometimes we get afraid. Well, what if God asks me to do this? Well, what if he does? The Bible does say that we're bought with a price. We're not our own. We're his anyways. So all we're doing really is turning back over to him ownership of whatever what he already owns. So the beseeching, the begging, and I give it to you. I beseech you, yield yourself to the Lord. The reason? Because it's all his anyways. And the result is that we get to live in that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, which is where we want to live anyway. So this morning, if God, the Holy Spirit, brought something to your mind, you know, I am holding on to that. My friend, this is the time just to give it over to him. Lord, I'd rather go to heaven with nothing between us than I would go to heaven and think I should have given something up for your glory. I beg you to yield yourself to him. And then maybe you're here this morning or listening, and you've never even given your life to Christ. God didn't create you to just amass as much stuff as you could in this world and then leave it to some people who may or may not appreciate what you gave them anyway. God didn't create you and allow you to have your mind that you have and allow you to do the things you've done. And he didn't bring you into this world. He didn't do all that just so that you could run your own program. Instead, he created you and gave you your mind and gave you your wherewithal and gave you all that stuff so that you could turn glory back to him. Well, the first thing you do as you give glory back to him is realize who he was. He's God, the creator. His son, Jesus Christ, is the Savior and came to die on the cross for your sins. And so, my friend, if you're living your life for yourself, then I can tell you this, it's a miserable existence. You say, how do you know? I've talked to so many people who are living for themselves, and then I've talked to a lot that came to Christ, and after they gave their life to Christ and they accepted him as their Savior, they said, I was miserable. And there's heads going up and down in this room all over the building. Yep, I was too. My friend, maybe you haven't even given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never received him as your Savior. No wonder your life seems to not have as much meaning as it should, because you need Christ in that life of yours. And maybe you're the one that needs to be saved today. If you are, let me just tell you that you will never find happiness. I don't care where you search for it, apart from Jesus Christ. If you're here today and Jesus is not your Savior, you've never received his forgiveness of your sins, My friends, you'll look through everywhere in this life, but you'll still be miserable. But that'll be the best of it. The worst of it will be you'll spend an eternity separated from God in a horrible place of torment called hell. But my friend, the sweet, sweet promise of God is that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You want your life to have meaning? The first step, or first stop, if you will, first thing you do is receive Christ and get your sins taken care of. Again, He didn't create you to amass all the stuff in this world. He created you to give Him glory. And the way you give Him glory is by recognizing His saving work through Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. I trust that you would. That's been our prayer, that people would be saved today. And if you're saved, then my question to you is, are you yielded to Him? Really, does He have the right of way? God, move anywhere you want to. Every area of my life. Can you imagine buying a house? And the old owners said, I'm going to keep this one closet on the back of the house, this exterior closet. I've got some stuff in there. I'd really rather you not buy it or not mess with it. Well, you say, no, I bought the whole thing. I bought it all. I've got that closet and every other bit of it. You would never allow that to happen. Well, it's no stranger than us telling the Lord, Lord, you've got me. Well, except for this one little area. I'd rather not you mess with it. Just leave it closed off. Then I'm not yielded. Are you yielded to Him? Father, thank You for the chance to be with my friends this morning. Lord, I'm amazed and astounded every Sunday we get to come together and then we have guests that come and join us, and many of those guests You're leading to just come and be part of the family. Lord, I'm so excited and happy for everyone that's here. But Lord, my sincere prayer right now is that every Christian in this house and listening, Lord, that they would just pretend that they're stepping aside and they're letting You come through with whatever You want to do in their life. They are yielding the right of way to You and Your plan. They're tired of their plan. Lord, I pray You would be impressing folks right now to just give it up. Every Christian in this house, that they would just yield their lives to You. And then, Lord, those that aren't saved, Lord, I pray that today they'd give their life to You. Better yet, dear Lord, instead of giving their life to You, that's part of it, but that they would allow You to save them from their sins. They would believe You, who You are, the Savior, and they would come to Jesus Christ, receive Him as their Savior for the forgiveness of sins. Bless us, I pray, dear Lord. Work in our hearts in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with us as the ladies play something through? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. My friend, are you yielded to Him? Is there an area of my life that I'm just keeping off limits to God? The audacity to think I'd keep something off limits to God. God's the one that allows my heart to keep beating, but that's what we do. Maybe it's some little activity. Oh, God's been bothering us about it for a while, but we don't do anything with it. Don't bother me on that one, Lord. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? That's what she's playing. Does your heart, the spirit control? You will never have peace till you yield Him your body and soul. Are you here today? You're not sure that you're saved? Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Please, my friend, don't leave. We've been praying that today the gospel would be clear. The gospel is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died on a cross. He was buried, and miraculously He rose again. He's alive forevermore. He did that for your sins. Would you like to come accept Him as your Savior? Maybe you're right there in your seat. You're understanding that you're a sinner in need of salvation. would you look to Jesus Christ? Believe He was who He said He was. As they just play one more verse, I just want to challenge you to make sure the way is clear. As the Lord comes through every area of your life, the way is clear, Lord. The way is clear. I'm not holding back. I'm yielded completely. Thank you. May look this way. Well, it's been a joy to be in church this morning. Thank you. Thank you for being here. We are excited for each of you. At the back in the lobby, I'm going to ask Brother Nathan and Ms. Teresa Susong to slip back there with us. If you have a question about Tuesday, the Oasis, maybe you've never been involved with that. It's a 55 plus, but you'd like to make this your good time. We'll have a good window to get out there, and they'll give all the directions and instructions and details. But we'd love to have you come be with us. It'll be on the 2nd, this Tuesday. And then also out back behind the Family Life Center, there's the inflatables. The carnival's open until 1, so your children will be where the workers told you they'd be. That's for sure if they're back in their class or whatnot. But it will be open for the church family. So there's hot dogs. I'm going to see if Brother David Harrison will go in the bounce house. I'd love to see him get out and bounce around back there for a little bit, and we get Preacher Lassie going down that big inflatable slide. And Ms. Ellen will be down there with her smartphone taking a video of it, I'm sure. So, no, but it's all back there. If you want to slip back, there's hot dogs, there's some good stuff, drinks, and we'll have a good time. You want to see some of the kids play around, and that'll be there till 1. So we have an hour if you choose to stay. We'll have a good time. And again, Andrew and Trinity Davis up there, if you get to see them on your way out, congratulate them. And then so glad to have Preston and Hannah with their little guy, Nate. What a joy to see God's blessings on families. And so, again, thank you for being here. Brother Scotty Carey, would you mind to come and dismiss us in prayer? Ask the Lord to bless us as we head out. Tonight, again, we'll have a little recap of Vacation Bible School. We'll also have testimony service from the young people who went to England. Many of you helped fund that trip. I want to say thank you, and I'd love to invite you at 6:30. We'll have a good time together, and the choir will sing. We'll have a message. We'll have a great time here in the Lord's house at 6:30. Brother Scotty, please pray for us.
Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity that we had to come to your house this morning, Father, to worship you, Father, and thank you for the good word that we've heard this morning. And Father, we just ask that you'll help us to apply it to our lives, and Father, help us to yield accordingly to you and your will. Thank you for heaven. Lord, it's the least that we can do is to give our life to you after all that you've done for us. But Father, we'd ask now that you'll be with us this afternoon. Bring us back safely tonight. Be honored and glorified through all that we do. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.